Make sure that you're subscribed to The Word of the Lord Endures Forever. Type The Word of the Lord Endures Forever in your podcast provider, hit that subscribe button, and leave us a 5-star review. This will make it easier for other podcast listeners to find The Word of the Lord Endures Forever.
The Word of the Lord Endures Forever is brought to you in part by the Lutheran Heritage Foundation. LHF is a recognized service organization of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, dedicated to translating and publishing the books of our Lutheran faith into more than 100 languages for our Christian brothers and sisters around the world. Learn how you can take part in their work at lhfmissions.org. Welcome to The Word of the Lord Endures Forever with Pastor Will Wheaton.
He makes the real you, the old you, new. You are truly raised in your body, but in such a way that sin no longer inheres. All the aggravating itches and desires that you've been fighting against as a Christian will be gone.
The Word of the Lord Endures Forever is a daily verse-by-verse Bible study with the church, past and present. Pastor Wheaton is leading us in a study of the book of Revelation.
The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen. Greetings, people loved by God. Previously, we'd started digging into the golden 21st chapter of Revelation with John's great vision of the new heaven and the new earth. Remember, the first heaven and earth had passed away. And remember, I sadly noted that John says, no more sea, indicating probably no more source of chaos or disorder. And he adds that he saw the holy city, God's new Jerusalem, descending from heaven, dressed as a bride for her bridegroom. Yeah, a jumble of images there. How does a city dress up? But that's because he's seeing the reality of the church made visible. For the church is the bride of the Lamb, the one who came from heaven to seek and find and bring her to his home. I go to prepare a place for you. And then the loud voice rang out announcing that God's dwelling is with man. We saw that as especially true from the incarnation itself, but here the meaning was that Jesus would be visible to us, and he would proceed as God with us to comfort his people. His nail-scarred hand reaches out to touch the faces of his own, and the tears are gone. Death is gone. Mourning is gone. Crying is gone. Pain is gone. All those are the former things that are entirely absent now from his new creation. Continuing then, a reading from Revelation, the 21st chapter, beginning at the 5th verse. And he who was seated on the throne said, Behold, I am making all things new. Also he said, Write this down, for these words are trustworthy and true. And he said to me, It is done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. To the thirsty, I will give from the spring of the water of life without payment. The one who conquers will have this heritage, and I will be his God, and he will be my son. But as for the cowardly, the faithless, the detestable, as for murderers, the sexually immoral, sorcerers, idolaters, and all liars, their portion will be in the lake that burns with fire and sulfur, which is the second death. Revelation 21, verses 5 through 8. Let us pray. Lord God, Heavenly Father, send forth your Son, we pray, to lead home his bride, the church, that with all the company of the redeemed, we may finally enter into his eternal wedding feast. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Well, are you ready to ponder today's passage together? Let's do it. Verse 5. And he who was seated on the throne said, Behold, I am making all things new. He who was seated on the throne, that is, the one who has all authority in heaven and on earth, our Lord Jesus Christ, he is the one who makes all things new. As I pointed out last time, that's not the same thing as making new things. And included in that all things is you. This is the fundamental truth about the resurrection. Jesus does not craft a new you. He makes the real you, the old you, new. You are truly raised in your body, but in such a way that sin no longer inheres. All the aggravating itches and desires that you've been fighting against as a Christian will be gone. No more temper, no more impatience, no more lust, no more anger, but it will still be you, the real you, who comes forth from that grave. It's all beyond our puny mind's ability to figure out, but we can rest assured that He who created and sustains all things by His powerful word will have no difficulty at all in accomplishing this. And with the same old you suddenly made new, there'll also be the whole family of the redeemed made new, and the place in which we are to live with Jesus forever made new. Truly did St. Paul teach in 1 Corinthians 7:31, for the present form of this world is passing away. Its present form. But He's all about making all things new, not new things, which is why St. Paul also reminds us in Romans 8, for the creation waits with eager longing for the revealing of the sons of God. For the creation was subjected to futility, not willingly, but because of Him who subjected it, in hope that the creation itself will be set free from its bondage to corruption and obtain the freedom of the glory of the children of God. That being set free from bondage to corruption is what makes it all new and wonderful. I suppose in some ways the nearest experience we have of this in our current life is if you've been gravely ill, feeling absolutely miserable, but then the day dawns suddenly where the fever is broken, the pain's gone, you feel, and like you say, a new man. You want to get outside. You want to go do things again. You've turned a corner. Imagine it like that, but with death being what's been left behind forever. Continuing, also he said, write this down, for these words are trustworthy and true. Jesus thus wanted John and you and me to know that we can bank on this promise. It holds. The one who makes this promise is Himself, both trustworthy and true, and so what He promises will surely come to pass. That's how Andrew of Caesarea, writing in the early 6th century, explained this. Listen, these words are true, for they issue from the truth Himself and are expressed no longer by way of symbols. Rather, they are recognized by the realities themselves. Verse 6, and He said to me, it is done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. Now, we heard that cry, it is done, already back in chapter 16, verse 17, with the dumping out of the final bowl of wrath. Here, though, it is done refers, I believe, to the time of waiting for the fulfillment of all God's promises. Jesus announces, wait over! The long Advent has come to its end, and the eternal Christmas is now here. Alpha and Omega, of course, are the first and the last letters of the Greek alphabet. The whole verse echoes verses from Isaiah. Think about Isaiah 41, verse 4. Who has performed and done this, calling the generations from the beginning? I, the Lord, the first and the last, I am He. Or Isaiah 44, verse 6. Thus says the Lord, the King of Israel and His Redeemer, the Lord of hosts, I am the first and I am the last. Besides me, there is no God. Or Isaiah 48, verse 12. Listen to me, O Jacob, and Israel, whom I called, I am He. I am the first, and I am the last. Jesus is the King of Israel, and its Redeemer in the flesh. And at the last day, when He makes all things new, including us, we'll see Him in our own bodies, with our very eyes, just like Job foretold. For I know that my Redeemer lives, and at the last, He will stand upon the earth. And after my skin has been thus destroyed, yet in my flesh I shall see God, whom I shall see for myself, and my eyes shall behold, and not another. My heart faints within me. Continuing still in that same verse, to the thirsty, I will give from the spring of the water of life, without payment. Now, echoes right there of John's gospel, right? John 4, verses 13 and 14, Jesus said to her, everyone who drinks of this water will be thirsty again. But whoever drinks of the water that I will give him will never be thirsty again. the water that I will give him will become in him a spring of water welling up to eternal life. Or remember in John 7, verses 37 and 38, on the last day of the feast, the great day, Jesus stood up and cried out, "If anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. Whoever believes in me, as the scripture has said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water." John proceeds to explain in the following verse that this is actually a reference to the Holy Spirit, whom Jesus would pour out. And do not miss at all that without payment. That harkens back to Isaiah 55. Come, everyone who thirsts, come to the waters, and he who has no money, come, buy and eat. Come, buy wine and milk without money and without price. Why do you spend your money for that which is not bread, and your labor for that which does not satisfy? Listen diligently to me and eat what is good and delight yourselves in rich food. Incline your ear and come to me. Hear that your soul may live, and I will make with you an everlasting covenant, my steadfast, sure love for David. Verse 7. The one who conquers will have this heritage, and I will be his God, and he will be my son. So this is right back to the opening letters to the churches, isn't it? The one who conquers refers to those believers who see through the lies and deceptions of the enemy and who strive against all sin and rebellion to remain faithful to Christ. The beautiful promise, you will be like Christ himself then. You will be the children of God, and so you will be heirs of eternal life. The whole of the book is thus urging Christians to stay faithful under times of trial, because of the huge blessings that assuredly await us when these joyful realities appear before our eyes. And in contrast to the believing, the baptized faithful, there is ever the warning, verse 8. But as for the cowardly, the faithless, the detestable, as for murderers, the sexually immoral, sorcerers, idolaters, and all liars, their portion will be in the lake that burns with fire and sulfur, which is the second death. The cowardly probably refers to those who renounce Christ out of fear of death, thus breaking faith with their master. And did you notice that last item? I referred before to Bishop Buyertz's novel, Hammer of God. He has a great scene somewhere in there where the pastor has to deal with a parishioner who's not being straight with him. Well, the pastor wisely opens up a Bible to this very verse. He makes the man read it out loud. And then he puts the question to him once more, and this time the truth comes out. That's the point of this verse, to frighten Christians away from lying and all that other junk, because they do not want their portion to be ending up with the devil in the lake of fire. Now, that's where we're going to stop for today, people loved by God. Next up, John is invited to get a close-up of the bride, the wife of the Lamb, this holy city, Jerusalem, we heard about earlier. He's transported to a high mountain where he gets to see the spectacle, the holy city coming down from heaven, from God, glittering and gleaming like a rare jewel, yet clear as crystal. He'll mark the great high wall that surrounds her, as well as the 12 gates, each guarded by an angel. And on the gates, he'll see the names of the 12 tribes, as I assume we heard back in chapter 7. And the 12 gates also have 12 foundations, and on them are inscribed the names of the 12 apostles of the Lamb. Ha! That old question about whether Peter jumped the gun with Matthias and whether that spot really belonged to St. Paul, it'll finally be answered, won't it? And when we see it, our joy will be so great that we're not going to care one way or the other. Till next time, my friends, the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Amen.
Thanks for listening to The Word of the Lord Endures Forever with Pastor Will Wheaton. The Word of the Lord Endures Forever is a listener-supported program. You can donate by check, make your check payable to The Word Endures, and send it to Box 616, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also make a secure online contribution at thewordendures.org. The Word of the Lord Endures Forever is a production of LPR, Lutheran Public Radio.